In the name of our all-loving God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Some weeks, it takes me a long time to see the connections between our Sunday readings. I'll read the lessons over and over and over again and try and figure out what they're saying to our own time. Today was one of those Sundays. It took me a long while to realize that Isaiah's words to a people who've lived through exile have a connection to us. The people to whom Isaiah is speaking have discovered a resolve, a depth of faith that has carried them through tough times. They have a deep and abiding perseverance, a stick-to-itivity. They cultivated a compassion at the time when they were in exile, a compassion for those who were in poverty and afflicted by turmoil. And so Isaiah doesn't want them to forget that, those virtues of care and concern. He knows that it's so easy to forget those strengths when life becomes easier. So he underscores the features of community service, community support, humble service, respectful speech, and sharing of resources with the humble and the outcast. Isaiah's whole text speaks with the transitional words, if and then. If we live faithfully and compassionately, then good things will happen. If we live according to our baptismal vows, then we will be very close to the heart of God. However we put it, this equation can be lived out daily. Isaiah's words are as valid in the 21st century as in the 8th century BCE. In one of the churches I served, there was a bent-over woman like the one in today's gospel. She suffered from what's called spondyloarthritis, a condition that can leave one with spinal vertebrae that are bent and twisted. My parishioner got around in a wheelchair, bent over, unable to make eye contact, unable to see the sky, struggling to breathe and to speak. No doubt the woman in our story experienced the same difficulties as Georgette. Keeping the Sabbath was and is an important piece of the Jewish faith. Keeping Sabbath means not working, devoting one's energies and time to God. Exodus 20 states, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male or female servant, nor your animals nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Keeping Sabbath was one of the commandments given by God to Moses, so dissing that commandment was disregarding one's centuries-old tradition. Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath faithfully. He explained the scriptures, as was his custom, and on this day encountered this woman with spondyloarthritis. The woman doesn't approach Jesus nor ask for anything. The minute Jesus lays eyes on her, he calls her over and says, "Woman, you're set free from your ailment." And he puts his hands on her. What Jesus does for the woman is free her from the torture and imprisonment of her own body. He gives her new life, freedom from pain and shame and isolation. He restores her dignity, her sense of self-worth, her place in the community, her her very identity. No longer is she crippled, she is, as Jesus calls her, a proud daughter of Abraham, heir of God's promise and participant in God's covenant. Jesus reaches out to this woman whose everyday life is worse than death and touches her and gives her the wholeness and health and peace that God intends for every person. And she didn't have to do anything. What Jesus did for her was a gift, pure grace. When Jesus touches the woman, she stands up straight and tall for the first time in 18 years and begins to praise God. She knows the source of her healing, and Jesus doesn't ask her for a copay. So on the Sabbath, she praises God for this unexpected, wonderful, unbelievable gift of life. As we know, the story doesn't end here. There was pushback from the synagogue leaders who challenged, quote unquote, working on the Sabbath. Jesus makes clear that healing and wholeness know no boundaries, that God's desire for health and well-being for all of God's children can and will be accomplished any day of the week. As Jesus states in Mark's gospel, the Sabbath was made for humans, not humans for the Sabbath. In other words, spiritual practices and observances were meant for humans' good, not to be a burden. Along with the healing of the woman, Jesus confronts another illness among those who rebuke him for healing on the Sabbath: hypocrisy. This is classic Jesus behavior. He lifts up the lowly and takes down the mighty from their thrones. The religious leaders are caught by their own insincerity and pride and legalism. They are working from the disease of self-righteousness and self-interest, blaming and shaming their way into captivity. Maybe we know folk who act in the same manner. Some Christian traditions today follow their traditions so strictly that they care more about detailed rules than they care about human need. Some rules are important, certainly, but we risk taking pride in our strict observance, or even in strictly avoiding being such a strict people, instead of remembering that we all need God's grace. We are all God's beloved children, whether we're on the same page politically or theologically or not. And nothing, nothing can separate us from God's love. This is the bottom line of the gospel. One of the things that jumped out at me from this reading is the inequities of global health care. For example, some European countries with universal access to health care average three maternal deaths for every 100,000 births. The U.S. averages 17.4. Afghanistan had a rate of 110 maternal deaths last year. God wants all people to be whole and healthy, and weeps at the discrepancy in healthcare around the world. I made a comment that Jesus didn't ask for a copay. Obviously, there was no such thing as health insurance in Jesus' time. In our time, there is, and there are at least 30 million people in this country without health insurance, and millions of others who are underinsured. This includes 1 in 10 children. And sometimes copays are so high that folks decide not to go to the doctor. I believe the Gospels are about both our personal relationship with God and Jesus' call to us to work in our own communities to create God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer all the time. This includes advocating for health, adequate health care for all. I believe Jesus calls us to work toward equality and equity in our society for all persons. And I don't believe it's a choice. It's our responsibility as his disciples. Jesus follows in the tradition of the prophets who remind us repeatedly that God's special concern is for those on the margins, the least, the ill, the impoverished, the refugees and immigrants, the homeless, the voiceless, the bent over woman, the boy with epilepsy, the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, the woman with a hemorrhage, and numerous others. The Isaiah lesson commends the people for feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us that these are the actions that matter the most, the way we love our neighbors as ourselves by providing food to the hungry and welcoming the stranger and visiting the sick and imprisoned, caring for the least, caring for the left out. This is how we live into the Great Commandment. Discipleship is a way of life, a love story, and an adventure. And how we live into the baptismal covenant is to see the face of God in every person. This is our call every day.